It is 7:14. We're joined by Councilman Joe Geruso. Joe, when does your term end?
I have 144 more days.
But you're not counting.
January 12th.
But you're not counting.
Not counting.
No, absolutely.
My wife is not counting.
No.
Nobody in our household is counting.
But listen, I know you, and I know that you're not going to phone it in. You're going to keep working until it's over, and then you'll go into private enterprise because you have to feed your family. Accurate?
That is correct. And look, we obviously know with all of the news right now that we're going to have to work even harder in the last 140 days.
How is it going to change, Joe, now that with the mayor under indictment? How will you have to work harder and why? Why? I mean, it's obvious, but how? What is it going to look like?
Well, I mean, there's a couple of things. One is just the last couple of days, Tommy, the press have been asking us questions, and that's their job. Their job is to ask questions. But obviously, if I'm not answering those questions, I'm doing other things. That's number one. And then number two, I think the work harder comes from, all right, obviously with the mayor under indictment, her attention is going to be split on other things. It has to be. Any person under indictment is going to think about what their liberty looks like instead of 100% focus on their job. And I'm not just talking about this mayor. I'm talking about any human being. So,
well, you've represented people, you know, right?
Yeah, of course. This is when your liberty is at stake, guess what? You're going to focus on that first. And so that just means the rest of us have to make sure that things are running correctly. And then, Tommy, the third part of it, really, and this is, I think, the part where we'll have to work the hardest, is there's a transition period. And we'll have a new mayor either by October or November. And we're going to have to create a budget that works with the new mayor, get things set up for the new council members and for the new mayor. So it's both a transition period and the fact that the mayor's attention is going to be other places just by necessity means you're going to have to do more to fill gaps.
When did it change? And I should know this, but because the mayor used to be sworn in, inaugurated in May, right?
That's right. So this happened at the beginning of our first term. The elections moved to the fall, and the deal is you can extend somebody's term while they're in office, but you can't shorten it. So if you remember back in 2017, we all ran in October and November, but we weren't sworn in until May. And then this last time in 2021, that all switched. And so we're now on that cycle. And the idea is just to avoid like Mardi Gras and festivals and all these other things when people really aren't paying close attention.
What is it about? Let me just ask you this personally, because I think the world of you, and I think, you know, that the fact that you are leaving public service because you have to go into private practice to feed your family says a lot that you're not trying to enrich yourself at the taxpayer trough. Are you going to miss public service, Joe?
Oh, yes. And look, what I tell people all the time, I've been getting this question more, is will I miss some of the things that you have to do politically or being crunched sometimes either by residents or by advocacy groups? No. But look, even after 7 years, when somebody says, hey, Joe, you helped me with that pothole, you helped me fix my light, you know, the legislation that you passed helped me do something with my house I wasn't able to do, you get a dopamine hit every single time that happens. And obviously, you don't get into this business for the compliments because the complaints far outweigh those. But when those little nuggets happen, they're gold. And I think the other thing, too, is if you can take a step back after 8 years and say, here are two, three, four major things I was a part of accomplishing with other people, and then also things that people don't know about that didn't happen, that's all you can ask for. And
why didn't the West End thing happen? I'm just curious. Was that just not nobody wanted to invest, or what happened?
No, so we brought this up actually at the budget committee meeting this week. And the deal is let's be clear when I'm using my pronouns, me. I had always brought up splitting the tax revenue with Jefferson Parish 50-50. And the reason for that is even though Orleans has 70% of the land and Jefferson has 30% of the land, it's to ensure that Jefferson Parish participated, that we didn't have fights down the road. And also, candidly, Jefferson Parish has the waterfront. We don't. And they have the more desirable, even though they have the smaller portion. The administration said, no, it has to match what the land allocation is.
So by the only administration, mean LaToya?
Yes, correct.
Okay. All right.
So
for people who want to know why West End didn't, nothing's moving on that, it's because Jefferson Parish is willing to go 50-50. The administration said, no, it should be as the land is allocated, and that's the sticking point?
That is the sticking point. And look, I raised it last week in the budget committee meeting that was not, in my view, an acceptable outcome. And I spoke with the outgoing CAO, Gilbert Montagne, the new incoming CAO, Joe Threat, yesterday. And what I point out to them, Tommy, is what I'm proposing is not like we're leaving $30 million on the table in revenue every single year by this. The whole point of this is not necessarily to make money hand over fist. The point of it is to show that we can be good regional cooperators with our neighboring parishes and to bring something back that people truly enjoy. If you're looking at this is a cash cow, well, then you got a problem.
Jefferson Parish is willing to go 50-50, or that they will not move from that?
No, they're willing to go 50-50.
Yeah.
And I think the hard part, in fairness to Jefferson Parish here, we've been saying, I have been saying, as I've been involved in this since 2017, 2018, that that's what the deal ought to be. Mm-hmm. So, and I think rightfully in Jefferson Parish's view, they feel like the goalpost got moved on them. So I can't blame them for taking this position, but I think what we do now is how do we figure out other funding mechanisms that make it palatable.
Is this something you would like to see discussed at mayoral forums and have people quiz the candidates on, okay, how do you feel about this?
Yes.
Has it come up, as far as you know?
I don't know that it's come up yet. I will say that the Lakefront is going to have a forum with the mayoral candidates, and I'd be kind of surprised if it doesn't come up there. And really, look, I think the other thing that matters here is I've been working on this for 7 years. This is something that is a passion project for me. I would hope at this point that the mayor and her office would have some deference because this is in our district, and we want to make sure things are done the right way, and we've been working on it, and I think everybody knows what the expectations are and should be.
To be clear, when you say mayor and her office, you're talking about LaToya Cantrell.
I'm talking about Mayor Cantrell, yes.
So when it comes to y'all, if you go on to mayoral forums for Orleans Parish, maybe you should bring that up about where the candidates stand on splitting the proceeds from West End 50-50 with Jefferson Parish and as far as making the project move. 722 traffic now, WWL. 727, Joe Geruso, our guest. I'm Tommy Tucker. This is WWL. Joe, part of your education, I guess, as a city councilman, has been into the sewage and water board and the way the system works, power, generators, you name it. Tell me about this substation. Energy is saying, hey, they did what they're supposed to do. It's on the sewage and water board. Thoughts on that, and how important is it that we just get it fixed, et cetera?
Yeah, well, Energy's not wrong. Energy has their substation that's up there. This is tricky, though, because there are three different frequency changers that are on site, and the frequency changers are those machines that change the old power, the 25 hertz power that's ancient, to the 60 hertz power. And I think I said this to you last time we talked about this. I went on the site. It's unbelievable how much equipment is out there now. It's like 2 or 3 football fields of stuff that has been built. The hard part is Sewage and Water Board said we're going to be done by early summer. Then it got pushed to July. Now it looks like the first frequency changer won't be up until later in September or mid-September. And so the reality is we can no longer live with turbines that are ancient. Turbine 4 dates back to World War I. Turbine 5 is 65 or 66 years old. And at the same time, they've got to get everything right with the new substation from an engineering and other standpoint, because it has to run correctly and at the beginning, because if it doesn't, then people are just going to say this is a flim-flam job and it doesn't work. So I'm sensitive to it has to work correctly, but at the same time, it's you know, it, the clock is ticking.
To be clear, the alternative to this, because I got some text yesterday when I talked to Steve Nelson, is to completely revamp the entire system, which would cost billions and billions of dollars that the city does not have. Accurate?
That's correct. It couldn't be done in a revamp way, simply or easily, or with money that we have available.
So when do you think they'll get it straight or get it fixed or whatever? Have it? When will it come online?
It's supposed to come online in September, and I think fully online in November.
We've been very lucky with hurricane season. Let's hope it continues. Thank you, Joe Geruso. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council member. I think he's one of the good ones. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk to Ruth Lawson, president of the Jefferson Chamber of Commerce. I didn't mean to disparage anybody else. I just admire Joe Geruso. How do Jefferson Parish businesses feel about the permitting process? We'll find out when we come back. If you live in Jefferson have gone through the permitting process and have had any problems or want to talk about how well it's worked, I'd love to hear from you at 504-260-1870. That's the Oakland or Jeweler Talk and Text Line. Please don't ever text and drive. Right now we pause for WWL First News.